الله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الطلاق مرتان، فإمساكم بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: ما خلق الله شيئا على وجه الأرض أحب إليه من العتاق، ولا خلق الله شيئا على وجه الأرض أبغض إليه من الطلاق، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, the ulama have mentioned that there are 10 signs of a foolish person. I don't have time to go into the detail of those 10. However, I share with you 3, out of which one is relevant to the topic. The first sign of a foolish person is he who spends more than he earns, whose expenses are more than his income. That's a sign of a foolish man. The second person is one who does not respect his seniors, yet expects his juniors.
Respect him. That's a foolish man. And the third is that couple. The third is that couple who argue daily in the relation, yet are optimistic of a blissful relation. Who have daily quarrels, daily arguments, yet they are optimistic of a blissful relation. Now, I had previously made mention that to sustain the relation, it is important for both parties, husband and wife, to constructively contribute. But there is a key ingredient. There is a key ingredient that if this will be found, then and then only there'll be prosperity in the relation, and that is patience and perseverance. This has to be found by both, and in particular by the wife. The famous incident, Allah Ta'ala speaks of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran. How does Allah refer to Ibrahim? Inna Ibrahim kana ummah. Allah says he was a nation. Being an individual, he was a nation. Siddiqan Nabiya. Allah says he was very truthful and he was the Prophet of Allah. Inna Ibrahim la awwahun haleem. Allah said Ibrahim was one who turned to Allah continuously. Haleem, one who was patient and forbearing. Yet this very tolerant Ibrahim loses his tolerance. This very forbearing Ibrahim loses his forbearance. This very patient Ibrahim loses his patience when he walks into the house of his son and his daughter-in-law is moaning and groaning. He walks in, where is your husband? Kharaja yabdaghi lana, the famous riwayat, he's gone out. How is your people's condition? How are your living standards? نَحْنُ فِي ضِيقٍ وَشِدَّةٍ. We are living miserable. We are going through chaos in our life. There's nothing good in this marriage. Anyway, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam conveys his salams to the daughter-in-law and says, إِذَا جَاءَ زَوْجُكِ فَقْرَئِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ وَقُولِي لَهُ يُغَيِّرْ عَتَبَةَ بَابِهِ. When your husband comes back, convey my salams and tell him he must change his doorstep. My point that I'm stressing here is Ibrahim, whom Allah says was patient. Ibrahim, whom Allah says was tolerant, but even he came to the boiling point. When Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam returned, كَأَنَّهُ آنَسَ شَيْئًا. As soon as he entered, he perceived, he sensed that there was a presence of someone. He tapped his wife, was there anyone home today? Yes, there was an elderly gentleman came visiting. Any comments, any remarks, any discussion that happened? Yes, he came home, he asked our wife. I told him, we're going through a lot of grief, we are miserable in the relation. Hal awsaki bi shay? Did he leave you with any kind words, any parting advice? He said, yes, he told me that I must convey his regards to you, best wishes, and that you must politely change your doorstep. He said, okay, listen, my wife, Dhaka Abi, the old man that came, for the record, that is my father. When he said, I changed the doorstep, then that was indications that an ufariqaki, that I must terminate this relation and dissolve this marriage. Ilhaqi bi ahlik, you move on in your life and I have to move on in my life. The point that I'm stressing here is a key ingredient in the relation, there has to be patience. Now, it is really appalling to see the extent of talaq that is happening in society. And over and above that, worse than talaq is the threat of talaq. I have, out of my personal observation, seen that whenever this has become common in the relation, a threat of talaq. Talaq is not a privilege, this is a responsibility. It's a sign of immaturity. I will divorce you, I will divorce you. Whenever a woman is threatened with talaq, I have noticed out of the cases I have been involved in, inevitably she starts flirting. relation. Let me give a different scenario. You walk into your workplace and your boss comes in, listen, things are bad, I'm going to retrench, but I don't know still who, I'll let you know later. What happens to your insecurity? How confused do you become? I mean, if he can send whispers like this and he can give threats like that, I need to start looking for different options. Now, threat of talaq. But before I go on to mention that, I want to first share with you one hadith of Muslim Sharif on the strength of Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha. Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha says, "Lam asma'hu," in the riwayat of Muslim, "yurakhisu fi shay'in mimma yaquluhu an-nas." I have heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam giving concession on three occasions where lies is permissible. Now first, let's appreciate and understand the gravity of the crime when a person speaks a lie. To start off, Allah says, "La'natullahi 'alal kafirin." Allah's curse is on the liar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ala unabbi'ukum bi akbaril kaba'ir." Must I not tell you the most grave of sins? Sahaba said, "Tell us." He said, "Ashirku billah." Ascribing partners with Allah. Wa uququl walidain. Disobedience to your parents. Wa kana muttaki'an fajalas. He was reclining, he got up. And he said, "Ala wa shahadat az-zur. Ala wa qawl az-zur. Ala wa shahadat az-zur." A false, a false evidence and the utterance of a lie. Sahaba said he repeated himself so much that as passionate as we were to hear from him more, but it didn't, the thought came in our mind, if only he observed silence, we got the message. But he kept on harping and repeating and reiterating the prohibition of lies. Now this is the gravity of the lie. Yet there are three situations where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says lies is permissible. Hence it makes us understand the importance of these aspects, that such an inflexible matter has been made flexible. Number one, al-islah bayna al-nas. Go unite two Muslim brothers. Go to Brother Muhammad and say, "My friend, why are you having this difference and this bickering? Yusuf has good words for you. Really, he has good words for you." Go to Yusuf and say, "I met with Muhammad last night. Wallahi, he really wants to patch up the relation." The next time they meet, the reality is no one had said anything. But just to bring about unity, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He is not a liar. He will be rewarded on this lie." Why? It is the means of uniting two. And at the same time, you can imagine the gravity of the sin of this uniting two. The second is in battle, because the very nature of is deceptive. So in battle, to camouflage, to disguise, to keep your movement. And the third is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hadithu rajuli zawjata," the relation between husband and wife. You know, we need to come on to a save the marriage campaign. You know, to cement the relation and to put an end to this talaq. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? The dialogue, the discussion, the relation between husband and wife, there's flexibility in this regard also to cement the relation. Now let me share with you two incidents that appear both in the books of hadith. The first is Hayatul Sahaba, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to send Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu to go and collect zakat. You know, there was from the official state, there were people that would go and collect zakat. And he was also sent by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. During the reign of Umar radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Mu'az went out to go and collect some zakat. And whatever he collected from the people, he then, disposed of it and discharged of it. When he returned back, then his wife asked him, generally when people go collect, then people also give them some gifts and some presents. So where's the presents and where's the gifts? So Mu'az radiallahu anhu said, no, Umar had sent someone with me to monitor me and to see that everything is transparent and there is no disloyalty in the funds and everything is discharged adequately. So I made sure that I discharged every cent and I have nothing. So the wife said, "But that's very strange. Nabi alayhi salam used to trust you and he did not send anyone to monitor you. Abu Bakr relied on you. Umar suddenly has a question mark to your integrity." And she made an issue about it. And she started telling everyone, "But how can Umar send someone to monitor my husband as if he will embezzle the funds?" So anyway, the news started spreading and it reached the ears of Umar. So Umar radiallahu anhu called Mu'az and he said, "Mu'az, but I didn't send anyone with you." He said, "Forgive me, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I had no other excuse to tell my wife. I really didn't know what to tell her, so Umar radiallahu anhu had a good smile and then he gave some money and he said, "Give it to your wife and make her happy." So to cement the relation, even this form was allowed. The second hadith appears in Dar al-Qutni on page 44. Abdullah ibn Rawaha, as I mentioned, brothers, study the social life of Sahaba. Study the social life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were humans from humans. And understand how Allah wants us to work our life. Forget about the filth that we have been exposed to through billboards and advertisements. That will only corrupt our life. That will only jeopardize our relation. Anyway, he was, you know, reclining with his wife on the bed, and she fell off to sleep, and he had the human need to approach his slave girl. فقام إلى جارية له. So he stood up, excused himself, and went to have relations and share the bed with his slave girl. When the wife got up and she looked around, husband was nowhere to be seen. So she stood up, and as she walked, she found that her husband is having relation with the slave girl, which was a young girl. So أخذت الشفرة, she took a knife. She took a knife and she came. In the interim, he sensed the severity and the sensitivity of the situation. So he sprung up from the bed quickly and he came out. The riwayat appears in Dariqutni on page 44. So he caught his wife walking with a knife like this in the dead of night. He said, Mayhem, well, what's the matter, my husband? She said, what's the matter? He's still asking. If I had to see you where I seen you, لَوَجَعْتُكَ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ, I would have penetrated this knife between your shoulders. So his wife, وَأَيْنَ رَأَيْتِنِي, where you seen me? She says, I seen you on the slave girl. So he tells his wife, I wasn't there. If I had relation with her, that means I'm impure. And if I'm impure, I cannot read Quran. I'm ready to read Quran. So she says, okay, read Quran to prove the fact that you're pure. So he starts singing Arabic couplets. وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو كِتَابًا إِذَا شَقَّ مَعْكُمْ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ سَاطِعُ أَرَانَ الْهُدَى بَعْدَ الْعَمَى. No, she didn't know it was Quran. She didn't know this was poetry. She said, well, singing melodious Arabic, it must be Quran. When he read the Arabic couplets and she thought it to be Quran, she said, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَكَذَّبْتُ بِالْبَصَرِ. I believe what you say and I deny my sight. But understand here, there was no crime that was being committed. Allah forbid you are perpetrating a crime and having an illicit relation. Now, it's a crime and you lie is a double crime. That is a sin and you lie, that is a very big sin. Understand the situation. Let's not run our minds and apply our logic. Here he was involved in something that was halal and lawful and legitimate. He had not committed or perpetrated any offense. Anyway, but it bothered him. In the morning, he went to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he went and he reported. He said, oh Nabi of Allah, this is what had happened. فَرَأَيْتُهُ ضَحِكَ حَتَّى بَدَتْ نَوَاجِزُهُ. He says, I seen Nabi alayhi salam with such a broad smile that in his blessed teeth got exposed also. Now the hadith that I quoted in the beginning, the Prophet said, مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الْعِتَابِ. There is nothing that created on the face of this earth that impresses him more than the liberation of slaves. And there is nothing but nothing that Allah has created which is more despicable and detestable to Allah than divorce. Now let me give you the first part of the hadith in Fathul Allam, which is the commentary of Bulughul Maram. It is mentioned regarding the Sahaba, how many slaves they liberated. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu liberated 20 slaves. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha 69. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu 70. Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu anhu 100. Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu 1000. Dhul-Kila Himyari radiallahu anhu on one day 8000 slaves. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf 30,000 slaves. Why? Ma ahabba Allahu. Allah has not created more beloved to him than the liberation of slaves, because slavery undoubtedly is a form of exploitation, and hence Islam promoted the liberating slaves. The second portion of the hadith, there is nothing that Allah has created that is more despicable than talaq. Mu'adh ibn Jabal says, I was standing with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was told that a man has divorced his wife 3 times. Nabi alayhi salam got up and he said, Ayyal, this riwayat comes in Nasa'i Sharif. أَيَّلْعَبُ أَحَدُكُمْ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَا بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِكُمْ. Are you people mocking with the book of Allah while I'm in your presence? So one sahabi stood up and he said, أَفَلَا أَقْتُلُهُ. Oh Nabi of Allah, should I kill this man if he is playing and messing around with the Quran like this? The riwayat is in Muwatta Imam Malik. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, the hadith is mentioned on the strength that one person came to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and he said, إِنِّي طَلَّقْتُ إِمْرَأَتِي مِئَةَ تَطْلِيقَ. I gave my wife 100 talaq. Now this happens very, very common, more than 3. I gave my wife 100 talaq. فَمَاذَا تَرَى عَلَيَّ. How do you view my situation? Abbas said, طُلِّقَتْ مِنْكَ بِتَلَاق. She was separated for 3 talaqs. وَالسَّبْعُ وَتِسْعُونَ اتَّخَرْتَ بِهَا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوَى. And the other 97 talaqs, talking with Allah and His Nabi and He'll deal with you. The other 97, you were playing with Allah. You were mocking with Allah. In one riwayah, he narrates it. He says, I was sitting with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and then suddenly one person came. And he said, Ya ibn Abbas, inni ثلاثة طليقة. I gave my wife three talaqs. Abdullah ibn Abbas dropped his head down. Mujahid said, ظننتُ أنه سيردُهُ إليها. I thought that Abdullah ibn Abbas was contemplating and trying to create some leeway, some flexibility, and he will say, okay, do this and your wife will be back in your marriage. He then raised his head and he said, listen, you people go on a spree of giving divorce and you lose your sanity and then you start firing after talaq and then you come, Yabna Abbas, Yabna Abbas, Yabna Abbas. Oh, Abdullah ibn Abbas, oh, Abdullah ibn Abbas, oh, Sheikh, oh, Mawlana, help me, help me. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, listen clearly and carefully. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will make an opening for him from every crisis. Now the fact that you gave three talaqs, وَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فَلَا أَجِدُ لَكَ مَخْرَجًا عَسَيْتَ رَبَّكَ كَانَتْ مِنْكَ إِمْرَأَتُكَ. You gave three talaqs, you declare Allah, so Allah has no opening for you. Your wife is separated and you have disobeyed Allah. Now these are the consequences of talaq. At the same time, I mean, in this week I had a case of a sister, 2 days ago, a white sister who reverted to Islam. What a wrong image of Islam we are portraying. She's married and she's in the relation for 14 years. And unfortunately, this has been the 10th time where she is a victim of physical abuse by her husband. She phoned me Wednesday morning, when I'm outside the house. Now she has reverted to Islam. She is not a born Muslim. And she is married to a supposedly true practicing Muslim. And this is the Islam that she receives. She says, I'm phoning you from outside the house. I am bruised. I need to know. Must I take legal advice? Must I dissolve this relation? Muawiyah ibn Hakim radiallahu anhu says, the riwayat is in Muslim Sharif. He says, I had one slave girl. كانت ترعى لي الغنم. She used to, you know, take my sheep and graze my sheep. And I used to go and monitor the flock and see what's happening. One day I got there, فَإِذَا الذِّئِبُ قَدْ ذَهَبَ بِشَاتٍ. A wolf came to devour the sheep. So I came to her and I said, what happened? She said, no, the wolf came to sheep. وَأَنَا مِن بَنِي آدَمْ آسِفْ كَمَا يَأْسِفُونَ. And I'm a human like any other human. I felt so provoked and so excited and so enraged that I lost my balance, سَكَفْتُهَا سَكَّ, and I slapped her one on the face. Now understand, this is not a wife, it's a slave girl. You know, there is a mark of difference, or there is no comparison in the dignity that a wife enjoys in relation to that of a slave girl. A slave girl, her entire body is purchased. But anyway, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, oh Prophet of Allah, I said, and you know, عَذَّمَ عَلَيَّ, I'm feeling bad about it, what can I do? Can I liberate and set this girl free, the slave? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go bring her and come. So anyway, I went and I called that woman, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the first question, أَيْنَ Allah? Tell me, sister, where is Allah? She said, Allah is in the heavens. I asked Nabi sister the second question, Man ana, who am I? She said, Anta Rasulullah. You are the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, A'tiqha fa innaha mu'mina. Let this woman free, she is a believer. Respect the sentiments of Iman in her. Now even if that is said about slapping a slave girl, can you imagine the consequences and the gravity of the situation when there is physical abuse to your own wife? The last thing before I go on, the ulama mentioned that if a person, you know, very important, there are many times the woman also abused the situation. The riwayat is in Tirmidhi, Thawban radiallahu anhu narrates it. Nabi alayhi salam said, أَيُّ مَمْرَأَةٍ سَأَلَتْ زَوْجَهَا. Any woman who asks her husband for a talaq without a valid Islamic reason, he does not, she demands a divorce. فَحَرَامٌ عَلَيْهَا رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ. Tell her, never mind paradise, she won't even get its fragrance. And one riwayat of Tirmidhi on the strength of Abu Huraira, المنتزعات والمختلعات هن المنافقات. Women who are provoking separations, who are demanding, dissolving the relation, they are nothing less than hypocrites. The ulama say if a man ever has to give talaq, if he is compelled, then he should lie and comply to the following things. Allah save us all, but if ever the situation comes, أَن يُطَلِّقَهَا فِي طَهْرٍ لَمْ يُجَامِعْهَا فِيهِ. He should divorce her at a time when she is not experiencing monthly cycle and at a time when he did not cohabit with her, he did not have relation. In doing so, it will minimize the period. If you divorce her during the period where she is experiencing her cycle, it prolongs the iddah, which complicates matters for her, and that gives you an added sense. So that's the first thing. Number two, أَن يَقْتَصِرَ عَلَىٰ تَطْلِيقَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. One divorce, one revocable divorce. Number three, he should try and be as polite as possible. It's a very crude interaction, but to the best of his ability, he should be polite. And as the Quran says, وَمَتِّعُوهُنْ, give her something. Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Nabi alayhi salam, he gave his two wives talaq on one day for whatever reason. You know, like that person said, I had bad luck with both my wives. The one left me, the other one didn't leave me. وَمَتِّعُوهُنْ, give some gift. So when he sent the talaq to both his wives, he gave them 10,000 dirhams each. And number four, Allah yufshi sirraha, after the marriage, don't divulge her weaknesses. Close the chapter and move on. She needs to move on with her life and you need to move on with your life. Brothers, bear me out. I want to share with you in 5 minutes the life of a woman. I believe is a role model for every woman. You know, this is an all-rounder, not a cricketer, all-rounder. All-rounder in the sense, I will tell you what a mother she was. Then I'll tell you what a wife she was. Then I'll tell you what a wife she was. And then you can make the call and decide. As I mentioned, a key ingredient to sustain this relation is sabr and patience. I'm speaking of none other than Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha. Asma radiallahu anha was born 27 years before Hijrah took place to Medina Munawwara. She narrated 56 ahadith from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She enjoys the privilege on the rewrite known as Zatun Nitaqeen. When my Nabi and Abu Bakr left for Hijrah and he came in the dead of night, and then Abu Bakr accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was Asma, now look at her role as her daughter, it was Asma radiallahu anha. She prepared food, there was no vessel or container, so she split her apron in half. And then she closed the food in this apron and she gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this became food for the journey. And it was because of this the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Asma, you are in Jannat, you have two garments in Jannat also. Dhatun nifaqin. So anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embarks and they leave on Hijrah. She was the one that prepared the meal. Then after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left, one day the grandfather of Asma radiallahu anha comes, Abu Quhafa, who is 83 in age and who is visually impaired. At that time, he is not yet a Muslim. Look at the maturity of this woman. My sister today has to contend with her mother-in-law and sister-in-law and she faces a crisis. Let me tell you with who Asma had to contend. She sees her father off. Then comes her aged grandfather. The grandfather walks in. He's not a Muslim. She understands the complexity and the sentiments. She says, "Hadaraka min shay'in." So my son Abu Bakr is gone again with his companion Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Asma says, yes, oh my grandfather, he is gone. So again, I trust he left nothing for you and he deserted you people. Now look at the maturity of this girl. She understands loyalty to her father, loyalty to Islam. She was the 18th person to accept Islam. Only 17 people accepted Islam before her. She was in the initial stages. She says, come here, oh my grandfather. She then took pebbles, put it in bags, and then brought the grandfather and told him, now you feel these bags. He felt it, and she used an Arabic term. Now the word khayr in Arabic has two meanings. It has the meaning of as well as the meaning of good. So when the grandfather said, did he leave any khayr, meaning any money? She, you know, we think we are psychologists and we're smart, and we know how to manipulate, and we know how to, you know, turn and twirl. Look at the maturity. If your intellect doesn't steer you closer to Allah, then what's the good? She said, فَرَكَ لَنَا خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Oh my grandfather, he left a lot of khayr. The grandfather interpreted it as well. She interpreted it as piety and nobility. Then the grandfather leaves. Asma says, وَاللَّهِ مَا تَرَكَ لَنَا مِنْ. Qasam, he had not left behind a dime, not even 1 cent. But it doesn't end here. She leaves. The riwayat suggests, Abu Jahl then comes to the house. Now Asma contends with the enemy of Allah in the absence of her father. Arrogantly, harshly, abruptly. What I'm saying, my sister, you find yourself in a crisis to juggle yourself between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law and you come to a point of frustration. Look at with who Asma has to contend. Abu Jahl walks in. Where is your father, Abu Bakr? Asma says, I don't know. Where is your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Asma says, I don't have the whereabouts. Abu Jahl says, I know your father is not here. If you will not speak up, I will slap you and I will hurt you severely. Asma says, go for it and do what you have to do. The riwayat suggests this wicked, evil, nasty, wretched, may Allah's curse be upon him, advanced towards this innocent, blessed Asma radiallahu anha, then beating her severely, causing her to collapse and her earring to fall. She stands up crying, but she says, I'll never divulge it, do what you have to do. But this is not the all, this is not the end of Asma. The riwayat comes in Bayhaqi, that she was married to Zubair ibn al-Awam radiallahu anhu. Zubair ibn al-Awam was amongst those Sahaba who were given the glad tidings of Jannah in this world. Zubair radiallahu anhu was gone out with the Prophet of Allah. In a particular campaign. And when she got married to Zubair radiallahu anhu, she said Zubair owned nothing. She said, I walked into a house when Zubair had nothing but one horse. Kuntu alifa rasahu. The riwayat of Ibn Sa'd. I used to give fodder to the horse. Wa kuntu adukku nawa linadhi. And I used to take the date buds, crush it, make powder of it, and I used to give it to the camel. This is the house I walked in. He had a particular land which was at the distance of 2 miles. Daily I used to go to that land. I used to bring the date buds. One day I was returning from the land. Wa nawa ala ra'si. And the date buds were on my head. It was extremely hot. The heat was intense. Wa rasulullahi ma'a ashabihi. Nabi alayhi salam is walking with his sahaba. He took me and he pitied my condition. He came there, he dropped his camel down. And he said, "Ikh, that oh Asma, come, you know, mount on." Asma Allah says, "Fastahyaytu." Modesty gripped me. Imagine my sister. Today you don't mind rubbing your shoulders in the midst of a mall to go and satisfy your lust and your pleasure. And Asma in extreme heat, in extreme sobriety. When the Nabi of Allah put the camel down and said, Asma, mount on. She said, the modesty kept me back. And then, ذَكَرْتُ الزُّبَيْر وَغَيْرَتَهُ وَكَانَ مِنْ أَغْيَرِ النَّاسِ والله I cannot words what a woman. She said, I was about to mount. And then I thought of the possessive nature of my husband Zubair. If my Zubair comes, I got onto the back. And the Prophet of Allah was there. Obviously, that's okay. But there were other Sahaba. There were other men. I know he will feel offended. He will feel insulted. Accommodating the sensitivity and the possessive nature of my husband. So I declined and I said, oh Prophet of Allah, go on. Anyway, I came home. I narrated it. I narrated it to my husband Zubair ibn al-Awam. Then he then spoke to my father Abu Bakr, who arranged a slave for me. When that slave came, I felt so relieved, as if Allah Ta'ala had liberated me. And I mentioned this riwayat. She says my husband was a rather strict person. So I came to my father, the riwayat of Ibn Sa'd, which is in Hayat al-Sahaba. And I said, oh my father, you know what, my husband is a bit strict in the relation. I don't know if I can carry on. Abu Bakr said, and if only if every father can be the Abu Bakr of today. Ya bunayyatu isbiri. Oh my daughter, make sabr. فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ إِذَا كَانَ لَهَا زَوْجٌ صَالِحٌ. When a woman has a pious partner in this world. ثُمَّ مَاتَ عَنْهَا. And then he dies being pleased with her. وَلَمْ تَزَوَّجْ بَعْدَهُ. And she remains loyal and faithful to her previous husband. And she doesn't marry onwards. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ جَمَعَهُمُهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will unite them in Jannah. I will mention two things and I conclude. Really, my plea is to the sister of today. My plea is to the mother of today. Reflect over the life of this woman. She said, I was just mad. The Prophet of Allah was gone out. There was no food at home. We had a non-Muslim neighbor. Anyway, she prepared some food. After preparing some food, I was hungry now. وَأَنَا حَامِلٌ بِإِبْنَةِ خَدِيجَ. I was expecting my daughter, who later I came to know was Khadija. She had 6 sons. I went to the house of the neighbor, asked for some fire with the hope she'll invite me for the meal. But she did not invite me. I sat there, brought the flame home. And as I brought, you know, if the barbecue happening next door, it kills the neighbors. You know what's happening. It's in the environment, the entire atmosphere. So anyway, I brought the flame. It increased my crave for food. But this woman did not call me in any way. I went for the second time. I said, can I have some flame? She told me, take the flame and go. I came back. I fell down. My husband is gone out. Total sabr. I mean, I'm expecting today's woman. She what postnatal depression? Before she gets pregnant, she's depressed. After she gets, she's depressed. She's going through depression upon depression. This woman is pregnant. Her husband is out. There's no food. No depression. Why? Because she's complying to the Deen of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. When the husband came home, he said, "Did anybody come home today?" She said, "Al Arabiya tabis nara." Her Arab neighbor came home. She was asking for some fire. The husband said, "No. I think she needed some food. Send a platter of food." Asma said, when that food came, tears of joy. Allah knows what hunger I ate. I leave you with the last thing in the life of Asma. My sister, again, my plea to you is, reflect over the life of Asma and you will save that marriage. You will save that relation and you'll see the goodness of it. Asma radiallahu anha said, when I made hijrat, I was expecting my Abdullah bin Zubair. This will make every hair on your body stand. This, if you only apply inna fi dhalika la dhikra, liman kana qalbun. She said, I was in my 9th month, in the final stages of pregnancy. I left from Medina, from Makkah to Medina. When I got to Medina, ولدت بقباء. I came to Quba and I experienced labor pain and I gave birth. When I gave birth, then my child brought a lot of joy to the Muslims because the disbelievers said, we have cast a spell on your woman. They are barren from today, they won't bear any child. And the birth of my child refuted the perception that there was a spell that was cast. I brought my child and I put the son Abdullah in the lap of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salam then took him, da'a bi tamara. He said, bring me a date. Madagaha. He then chewed the date. Tafala fi wajhi. Subhanallah, he then put that saliva in his mouth. Wallah, I cry and I say, Abdullah bin Zubair, may our parents be sacrificed for you. We came in the world, we were given to the lap of a nurse. Some was given to a nursing mother. Some they put a bottle, others a pesaya. Abdullah had the saliva of my Nabi in his mouth. He imagined the future of the child who commences with the saliva of Nabi alayhi salam. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam da'a lahu. He made dua for him. Wa baraka alayhi, he blessed him. She says this, Abdullah then grew up. Again, Allah knows best. I couldn't come across the reason as this Asma and the relation prospered for whatever reason. Zubair ibn Awam divorced his wife. So now she goes through another setback in her life. Everything she has done, Allah knows best. Zubair ibn Awam divorces his wife. Asma radiallahu anha said, then I lived my life with my son Abdullah bin Zubair. He had a very promising future. He was 9 when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. He then became the governor of Makkah. And he refused to pledge his allegiance to Zayd, and the story is very long. And then Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, who took over, and his governor Hajjaj ibn Yusuf came to attack him, and he laid siege around Makkah. And after 26 days, he captured Abdullah ibn Zubair. Now I leave you with the last words of a parting advice. Let me show you what type of a mother she was. In the riwayat it comes, the day that Abdullah ibn Zubair was assassinated, اليوم التي قتل فيها ابن زبير دخل على أمه. He said, let me go greet my mother. I have a feeling that today is my last day. So as he comes to his mother, he asks, his mother was 100 years at that time. لم يفقد لها بصر ولم يسقط لها سن. She had not lost a tooth and she had not lost her vision. Today scientists would have post-mortem her whole body and made research. Her entire body was intact at the age of 100. See what Allah gave the woman. Anyway, I came to my mother, I said, Mom, I think today is my last day. How are you feeling, oh my mother? Dialogue between a mother and a child. She's divorced, she's at the age of 100, her son is out in the battle, is the governor of Makkah. So I asked her, how are you feeling? She said, I am feeling sick, my son. So I consoled my mother and I said, Inna fil mawti la raha. Listen, my mother, peace and happiness lies only. So my mother told me, La'allaka anta tamannahu li. Are you desiring that I must die before you? So I said, I kept quiet. My mother said, my son, ما أحب أن أموت قبلك. ما أحب أن أموت حتى آتي على أحد طرفيك. I want to live to see your death so I can make sabr on your death and Allah can reward me. Have you ever heard of a woman? Have you ever heard of a woman in the annals of human history whose aspiration is to live beyond her mother? I told you, unique as a wife, unique as a daughter-in-law, outstanding as a mother-in-law, outstanding as a mother. Oh my son, I want to love to see that you die. I make sabr on your death and then I will respond to the call of my Allah. Anyway, these are the last words. She then separates her son. And she thumma wadda'aha. Her last word is, إِيَّاكَ أَن تُعْتِي خَسْلَةً مِّن دِينِكَ مَخَافَةَ الْقَتْلِ. My son, we end here. Your father, the marriage had broken up. These are the last words of your mother. Don't forsake your deen to secure your kingdom. Don't forsake. I ask you, my mother, when your son goes out, have you ever said this year, you're going overseas? Don't forsake Allah to secure the deal. Don't forsake your salah to make it in the exams. The last words of the parting mother and son, and they separate. And then he goes, and that very day, a stone hurls and hits him on his head. Sara'athu. And then it breaks. And then it causes a severe flow of blood. The last words he uttered, his last words he uttered, Allahu Akbar, Ya Asma'u in kutiltu la tabkini, lam yabqa illa hasabi wa dini, wa sarimun la natbihi yamini. My mom, my breath is going. My mom, my soul is departing. My mother, you will be told shortly, your Zubair is gone. Hold yourself together. I won't be able to hold you. I will be gone. Hold yourself together, my mom, and embrace yourself. My deen will remain. My character will remain. And rely on this, Allah will unite us in Jannah. When the news came, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, the notorious bloodshedder, after he was killed, he then hung the body of Abdullah ibn Zubair, and for 3 days he left it. After the third day, Asma radiallahu anha took a slave girl, and she went to the body, and with great strength and vision, with great, you know, courage, she then brought the body of her son down, and she said, on this body of son, I know Allah will shower blessings and descend His mercy on every particle. After that, she arranged for the ghusl, and then she seen that the kafan nun and her son was buried, and 10 days later, she went and joined her son in Jannah. Really, my brothers, I'm asking you, read their life. The last riwayat, when Aisha radiallahu anha says, Ummi Habiba was in the throes of death. Ummi Habiba sent a note to me, and she said, Aisha, please come, I want to meet you urgently. So I came there, I came to the bedside. She said, listen, Aisha, قَدْ كَانَ يَكُونُ بَيْنَنَا بَيْنَ الضَّرَائِرِ. You are the Prophet Sallallahu co-wife. I am his co-wife. I am on my way out. We had a lot of bickerings in the relation. I'm a woman, you're a woman. I can't die with this in my heart. I'm asking you, forgive me so I can sigh with relief and pass onward. Aisha said, I have forgiven you. Ummi Habiba said, Sarraki, sarartani sarakillah. You made me happy. May Allah make you happy. Then Ummi Habiba sent a message to Ummi Salma, who was a co-wife. She said, listen, we are women. We had our ups and downs. Let's close the chapter. I'm about to breathe my last. I cry to Allah, and I wish my Allah gets my message across the globe. I wish this can leave every mother-in-law and daughter-in-law reflecting. I'm asking you, my mother, and I'm asking you, my daughter, if Aisha and Ummi Habiba, and Ummi Habiba and Ummi Salma could patch up the of Allah for the bigger picture of Akhirah, I'm hoping from Allah, and I'm optimistic after you have heard what Allah has said, that today will be you will call your daughter-in-law, embrace her one another, and make it a general atmosphere of forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill within us the reality of what was said, and revive in our likes, the likes of Asma radiallahu anha. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.